Grace to you and peace from God, our Creator, and from the living Word made flesh, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One wouldn't think that choosing hymns for Christmas Day would be a problem. Counting Joy to the World, which is tagged in the Advent section in our Holly Red ELW, there are 33. But I was on a mission, searching for the wettest and wateriest carol in the canon. And I found our Christmas selection markedly dehydrated. In Joy to the World, floods do join a choir of fields, rocks, hills, and plains, repeating the sounding joy. But composer Isaac Watts really muted the original Psalm 96 reference, where we can read and hear the sea and all that is in it thunder. So, unless my liturgical dowsing rod has failed me, the only other carol in our hymnal with a water feature is the one we just sang, The Bells of Christmas by Danish hymn writer Nikolaj F.S. Grundtvig. By the way, Grundtvig's original had 9 stanzas. The shorter English version in our hymnal was translated more or less by the 19th century Gettysburg Seminary alum and professor Charles Porterfield Crowth. And we have Crowth to thank for the hydration of that fourth verse. Oh, join with me in gladness sing to keep our Christmas with our King, until our song from loving souls like mighty water rolls, like rushing mighty water rolls. For quite a long time, this dehydration of the Christmas canon has bothered me, and I'm leaning towards blaming the author of the Gospel according to John. Chapter 1, verse 1. In that gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, etc., etc., etc. What came into being was life, and life was the light for all people. If a parallel to creation in the first pages of Genesis is the point, then where's the water? Genesis 1, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness swept over the deep, while a wind from God swept over the waters. Then God said, let there be light. Waters first, then light. And to ease off the author of the gospel according to John, it is that gospel that, of course, gives us Jesus as living water. For a wetter Christmas beginning, we do have the birthing of Jesus in the Gospel according to Luke, if only the English translators had not mopped it up. In Luke 2, verse 6, we read in English, while they were there, the time came for Mary to deliver her child. Deliver her child. Rather nondescript, don't you think? Especially in this COVID age when everything gets delivered to our front door. Books, broccoli, bed linen, why not a baby? But peek behind the English at the Greek and we find techein, which is a verbal riff on technon, the Greek word, one of them for child. So, as birthing for cows is called calving, and for sheep, lambing, for goats, kidding, for our human species, a birth is, of course, a childing. And human childing, like much of the birth in the animal kingdom, is a very wet proposition. For over the course of 9 months, pregnant humans become portable water parks. When a newly pregnant Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth in her 6th month, that joyful leaping that Elizabeth feels in her womb is the baby future Baptist, turning underwater somersaults in anticipation of a future encounter in the flesh scheduled for the River Jordan. In verse 6, in Bethlehem, Mary's water park becomes a one-way slide. And verse 7, she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. How on earth, where on earth does everything from the onset of labor to water breaking to pushing to pushing and pushing and pushing to crowning and ta-da, first photo of the happy family, how does that all fit into one sentence, utterable in a single breath? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and from the beginning, the flesh was nothing if not wet. And speaking of wet, I think Christmas rain is a good thing to remind us that a first century birth in Palestine, anytime between October and April, was a rainy season birth, which on the one hand could be very good, assuming that there were rain barrels nearby and assuming that this new family had access to those rain barrels. But imagine for a moment how important water would have been on that first Christmas and in the days and months ahead. Where would water, clean water, be available? And who would do the fetching of all that water? All that was needed for a new family with a new baby, a family experiencing homelessness. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the following. If instead of wise men with gold, frankincense, and myrrh, there had been wise women, they would have arrived bearing casseroles, stacks of clean diapers, and would have gone to work immediately to sweep out the stable. Gender aside, either way, what about water for a thirsty, breastfeeding mom? What about water? Going back to mid-October, that question has taken on fresh meaning in our community, thanks to Pastor Gracious Moyo. Back in mid-October, Gracious received the news that in the Zimbabwe village of his birth, something amazing had happened. After 3 failed attempts to drill a well, a 4th drilling had succeeded and water had been found only feet away from his mother's house. Now, for the 50 families of this village, this discovery promises to be transformational. No more walks of many, many miles round trip to collect muddied surface water from spots that were notoriously unreliable, especially during very long dry seasons. Finding water now means an end to these long, dreary walks, so that time is freed up for children to devote to learning and playing, for adults to engage in all kinds of economic development, beginning with planting a garden, an irrigated community garden. So in mid-October, the great good watery news flowed from Zimbabwe to Gracious, who, by the way, lives in Watertown, and from Gracious to us. Now, next, for the water to truly flow from deep inside the earth, pumps and various kinds of equipment had to be acquired and installed to maximize accessibility. Such work is not free. But what is cash for, if not to flow? Thank you, Gracious Moyo, for opening your heart, sharing your watery good news, and inviting us to wade in with you. Now, there are photos of the progress in this town available, I think, through our e-news, and each is full of priceless Christmas-level joy, joy that can flow now year-round. And I especially loved hearing Gracious tell the story of a week, maybe a week and a half ago, when the water from deep inside the earth traveled up into the containers atop water towers for the first time. As if God could not resist repeating the sounding of that earthly joy at that moment, the heavens suddenly opened up and rain came pouring down. Christmas, a birth story. And birth is nothing if not wet. On top of which, it was the rainy season in Bethlehem. That day, the shepherds, rank with mildew, arrived to deliver to Mary and Joseph the news, great and good for all people, the news that the angels had delivered to them, the news that the damp baby asleep in the soggy straw was destined for greatness on the Messiah spectrum. And so Mary, her body still engaged with the postpartum phase of childing, Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart, yet certainly not without a few moments of pondering. Who exactly was going to fetch the next bucket of water? The story of our Lord's birth, the childing of the Word made flesh, is nothing if not wet. So let's take a cue from the fourth verse of the Bells of Christmas for keeping Christmas year round. Join in gladness. Let us sing to keep Christmas with our King until our song from loving souls like mighty rushing water rolls. Exactly like mighty Russian water flows. And as we're about to sing in the bleak midwinter, if I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him. I give him my heart, a heart committed to make certain that at all times and in all places, from Bethlehem to Zimbabwe to Boston and beyond, that question, that essential life question, what about the water, will have a safe, clean, and readily available response. Hearing the bells of Christmas chime once more, becoming the wells of Christmas again and again. Let the congregation say amen, amen. And Merry Christmas.